deserted at times. You feel like maybe no one understands your situation and you really can't get the help that you think that you need. It's hard to imagine how David felt as he wrote this psalm. He's now in the desert. He's removed from what he's used to, his surroundings that he's used to, the royal palace and with its marble and cedar furnishings. And now he's in the desert, either in a cave or a dusty tent. Once a proud father and respected king, he's now a refugee in his own homeland, an enemy of his family and his constituents. It's very plain as you read this psalm, though, you can see that in verse 1, that David is hungry for God. Deserted by nearly everyone else, he knows that he's not been deserted by God. Do you know this morning that God doesn't desert his people? Even though you feel alone or you're deserted by everybody else, that God doesn't desert us. Amen? He's always there. But David was feeling that loneliness. So he cries out to God and he calls him my God. David could call God my God because he knew God. He knew he had a relationship with God. And those of us who have a relationship with Jesus Christ have a relationship with God, right? We can call God my God. My God. Are you like David? Are you hungry for God this morning? I think we're not near as hungry as we should be for God. David said, earnestly I seek you. Your version of the Bible you're looking at may say, early I seek you. But he says, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. Soul and body. David's entire being longed for God as one would for a drink of water in a dry and weary land. David looks around at the desert. There's no wells of water to be seen. And he sees that picture that he's looking at as a picture of his own life. He thirsts for that which only God can give him. In Psalm 42 and verse 2, David said, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. David was going through difficult times. When we go through difficult times, we ought to be thirsty for God, right? When we feel deserted and all alone and like nobody else gets it, we should be thirsty for God. Thirsty. Now, not only does David's soul thirst for God, he says his flesh faints for God. David's desire is so deep for God that he feels it in every part of his body, soul and flesh. And that pain drives him to long for God. Now that's back in the Old Testament, right? And oftentimes we read where in the Old Testament, someone like David would have this longing for God. They had at that time no real knowledge of eternal life, no knowledge of a sacrificial Savior, no knowledge of that there would be a resurrection. All the things that we know so well in the New Testament, we can now look back in the Old Testament and see those things. But Old Testament, it's just amazing that Old Testament saints like David had such a longing for God. They had a sense of his presence with them that it seems that few Christians enjoy today. Isn't that amazing? Why is it that you and I, knowing what we know, knowing that Jesus died for our sins, knowing that he was buried, knowing that he rose again, knowing all of that, have a book in our hands that tells us all about it, that we would not have the same longing for God as some of those Old Testament saints would. Isn't that amazing? David knew that nothing else could fill his life like God can. If you ever get to feeling like there's just nothing that's fulfilling your life or that you've just wasted your time, know that there's nothing that can fill your life like God can, right? Evidently, David, he'd already learned that. He'd had the royalty and the wealth of kingship, and he knew that none of that could fill his life. In other words, we understand as nothing in the world can fill our life. Like David learned, nothing can fill our life like God can. If I was to walk out the door, turn my back on God, turn my back on the church, I would be one miserable human being. Because I know that nothing else out there is going to fill my life like God can. Amen? By the way, I'm not going to do that. I have no intention of ever doing that. I'm not going to turn my back on God. You say, well, how do you know that? I'm saying with every fiber of my being, I'm not going to turn my back on God. I'm not going to turn my back on His church or His people or anything else. No matter if I'm threatened to do that. You say, well, how do you know? You may be threatened tomorrow. I want to stand before my God one day and Him not be ashamed of me. David, I think David got it, don't you? He got it. He went through a lot. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. He went through a lot, and I think he got it. He got it. Why was David able to go through all the deliberating trials that he went through without losing his confidence in God? I believe it's because of the value that he placed on God's love for him. David valued God's steadfast love, the scripture there says, more than life itself. Verse 2 says, so I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. We're told in scripture that David was a man after God's own heart. And when the pressure of life surrounded him, he clung to God with all of his strength. He grabbed hold of God, you might say, with all of his strength. And the rest of the verses in this psalm give us some very important clues for living in the desert places of life, yet staying in the presence of God. You know, that's the mistake that Christians make so many times. I've seen this time and again. Something will happen in their life and they'll quit coming to church. And they have told me, as soon as I get things straightened out, preacher, I'll be back. Does that make sense to you? It doesn't make any sense, does it? When something's going on in our life, we need to cling to God with everything that we've got. And how are you going to cling to God successfully if you're not surrounded by your brothers and sisters in Christ? And where else are you going to be surrounded by your brothers and sisters in Christ if you don't come to church? Oh, as soon as I get things straightened out, preacher, I'll be back. Now, I understand if they're too sick to come to church. That's another thing. As you well know, I had spent a couple of weeks. Well, I actually only spent one Sunday out of church, Brother Millen. I went to Morrison Heights, the the second Sunday. You know why? I couldn't stand it, Robert. I wanted to be around God's people. That's where I go on Sunday. That's where I wanted to be. But these verses give us just three clues about when we're in the desert places of life, to stay in the presence of God. And the first thing that we see here is praising God. Praising God is one way that we stay in His presence. What David did first, as you're reading down through here, what he did first might not make a lot of sense to a lot of people, but the first thing that David did in his desert situation was to praise God. In verse 4 he said, "So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands." And then in verse 5 he said, "My mouth will praise you with joyful lips." Yes, it might not make a lot of sense to a lot of people to praise the Lord when you're in the middle of a trial, but when your life is hanging by a thread, who cares if it makes any sense or not, right? You need God. You need to cling to God. Praising Him is one of those things that you do. Focus. Focus on what's going to keep you close to God. It's what you need. There's almost a sense here that David didn't know how much longer he even had to live. But no matter how much longer he had to live, David was going to spend it praising God. He was going to go down fighting, right? As David praised God, he started remembering in his mind all that God had done for him in the past. And that's our second clue to staying close to God in difficult times, is remembering God. Verse 6 says, "When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy." When I remember. Many people, and I've been guilty of this, you lose sleep, you lay awake at night tossing and turning about something, you're worrying about something. And I know God told us we're not supposed to worry, but we do, don't we? Say, "Well, I'm not worried, I'm just concerned." Well, you're concerned that you're worried. You're concerned so much that you're worried over your troubles. But David, it seems like he didn't have quite that issue. Whenever he wasn't sleeping, it says he was meditating on the Lord. He pictured in his mind all the many ways that God had taken care of him in the past, that God had been faithful to him in the past. Are you losing sleep over a situation or circumstance in your life? Are you lying awake at night worrying over a predicament that you're in? The key to keeping hope alive is to remember that God has been faithful to you in the past, and He's always brought you through. That's what helps me so much. God has been faithful to me. I wonder what David was remembering. Because, you know, David had quite a full life, didn't he? Quite a colorful life in some areas. But I wonder if one thing that he remembered, a time when God had been faithful to him, I wonder if it was when he was standing before the giant. That's the story we pops in our mind readily, isn't it? I wonder if he remembered when he was standing before the giant Goliath and all he had was a slingshot and a bag of rocks. And all of Israel was scared of Goliath with all of their weapons that they had. No one would go after Goliath. And I wonder if David didn't remember how he let one stone fly out of that slingshot and brought Goliath down. I wonder if he remembered how faithful God was there. I wonder if David remembered how God kept him alive all the time Saul was chasing him. I wonder if he remembered how faithful God was to forgive him once he repented of sin. Faithful, faithful. And those memories of is what kept David's hope alive that once again, God would be true and faithful. Praise God, remember God, and a third thing he did was pray to God. Verse 8, David said, "My soul clings to you. My soul clings to you." You know what that means? Does your soul cling to God when you've been in one of those desert places? By the way, has anybody in here never been in one of those places? Would you stand up and tell us how you did it? Maybe we could learn something. Well, I don't have to worry about you standing up and saying anything because you've been there, right? And some of us have been there a lot more times than others, but we've all been there. So how do you cling to God? You praise Him, you remember what He's done for you, and you pray to Him. Prayer is a way to cling to God. You reach out to Him with the words of your heart. You pour out your praise to Him, and you pour out your request to Him, and you keep doing that, and you keep doing that until deliverance comes. And then you praise Him for the deliverance, right? That's what David did. And as a result, now remember, Absalom's after him. His son that turned on him. Absalom's armies were defeated. Absalom lost his life, and David's kingdom was restored. You think it didn't do him any good to praise God in the middle of his trial? You don't think it did any good for him to remember how faithful God was to him in the past? You think it didn't do any good for him to pray? Of course it did, right? God proved himself faithful to David again. So the next time you're in the desert, remember what to do. Do what David did. Hunger for God. Feed your hunger with praises and prayers based on the faithfulness of God in the past. Will you do that? It works. It works. I can testify to that. It works. What a fitting act of worship to God to end our service today with the Lord's Supper. Remembering, right? Remembering what Jesus did for us. Remembering how He gave His life and shed His blood for us so that we could have a relationship with God. Because see, if you don't have a relationship with God, you can play like you're praising Him, you can think like you're remembering, and you can pray, but you got to have the relationship. And the relationship was made possible through Christ. Amen? And so let's pray, and as we pray, prepare your heart for this portion of the service, and the deacons will make themselves ready at this time. Let's pray.